mural de...
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martín. Primos, welcome.
Happy New Week. Hey,
Happy how's it going? It's my birthday week, so I'm happy. Ready to go.
Ooh, exciting.
That's right. Which day is it?
June 19th, man. June 19th, Friday.
So everybody send what the heck with two T's, a fun Twitter message on his birthday. So that'll be a good week. So we'll remind everybody in our next episode.
Yes, I'm turning.
We'll remind everybody.
Yes, I'm turning my age is a variable. It's like N equals. We'll just leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
It's like 28 plus
X, Y axis. My age is solve for X. That's my birth. That's my age.
Oh, man. Well, gracias, everybody, for joining us. Estamos aquí a servirlos, a sus órdenes. If you haven't already done so, please check us out on familiaffb.com. We got a lot of great content on there, as well as our social media channels at FamiliaFFB on Twitter and Instagram, and then our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. You know, we're proud so much of growing up in this country, adopting so many American traditions, but you know what? Nothing's better than injecting a little sabor mexicano into them, a little, just that extra bit that just turns it up a notch. And, you know, we all told our Familia audience about Christmas, and, you know, it's not just there. We've done it with camping. I mean, it's become quite the fun thing. I think the last camping trip that we had, I think we had more than 50 people at it in our own campsite that I think was really for 35. but that's in the don't tell them. Don't tell Carpinteria State Beach that. But yeah, it's just an awesome time. You know, we see other people who are like when they're getting up, they're feeling really good with their bacon and eggs. Next thing you know, they look over at the chorizo and the beans, and you know, then at dinner the carne asada and the fajitas and everything. It's just. It's just really kicking it up a notch. And, you know, we definitely make our bonfires very special with a lot of different drink recommendations. Guys,
yes.
I mean, what are some of your favorite parts of the Familia camping trips?
Something that I really – sorry.
Go for it.
Wanted to say something that I love is the variety we have there because everybody's cooking. So when you wake up in the morning, me being single in my 20s, just waking up and going to every different little kitchen to try someone else's chorizo and eggs or does this. And then at dinner, everyone has a different dinner. But everyone always makes extra, right? Because we're a big Mexican family. So that's and the right. Variety of beer. And it's just, I love the camping trips. There's so much of everything, right?
Definitely. No, yeah. Like you said, the variety, you know, all the tías, all the primas, you know, and the primos and everybody just getting all those old recipes out. And it just, everything just tastes better when you're camping probably. And I was thinking about this, like, why does everything just taste so much better when you're camping? And it's probably because the crudo, right? You drank so much the night before and then you wake up and it's just like, man, this chorizo and eggs is just like so goes down so perfect because you're curing that hangover. You know, I'll tell a story. You know, one year, I mean, we've been camping Carpinteria, I think, off and on because it's so hard to get a spot now, you know, online. But I think we go back 20-something years. And over the years, we've had just so many great memories. And one of my favorite memories, I mean, I don't know if it's favorite, but I'll just say most memorable memories. Talking about beer is, you know, we everyone brings, you know, their coolers and there's such a variety of beer and everyone's sharing. And, you know, it runs the full spectrum of light beer, dark beer, you know, low alcohol, high alcohol, you name it. We cover it. But I remember drinking one year, and yes, there could be drinking games and all that fun stuff. And I remember I just got so hammered one night, and I remember waking up in the morning and getting up, and you know, I'm walking out, you know, everybody's cooking already, the sun's already been out for who knows how long, and I'm just walking over, and you know, my mom's cooking, I'm ready to get some food, and everyone's just kind of staring at me and just kind of smirking and chuckling and laughing. I'm just like, why is everybody like what? You know, I'm asking everybody like, what's so funny? Why is everybody laughing? And they're like, have you looked in the mirror? I'm just like, no, let me go look in there. Something's wrong. I look in the mirror, full face, just makeup. I would have like mascara on and I have, you know, there's lettering and words and I don't know what, you know, like marker on my face and lipstick and all that stuff. So yeah, I was that guy at that camping trip. I was one that drank so much. I passed out. And of course, when someone passes out, you know, that's when the fun really starts. So yeah, that's my fun memory. One of my fun memories of our time camping.
I remember my family was never used to going to camping. So this was the first time we went. It was like 20 years ago. So we borrowed a tent from my parents' high school friend. And then when we got to the campsite, all we had were the poles, no like the cloth for the tent. So that was our introduction. We ended up having to get a brand new tent. But ever since, we've been kind of on it. It definitely taught us how to prepare for camping. Another thing that we did, I remember I brought my golf cart. And we had it off the truck for like 20 minutes. And I remember Sergio was riding it around in circles. Next thing you know, the park ranger came and basically shut that down. I was like, damn, we barely had it, too. But the whole weekend, I just sat at the top of, in the back of my truck. I was like, man.
And that was such a good idea. You know, well, speaking of back of the truck, there was that, I think it was just called The Thing that Pop and my mom, I think they went to they did camping one or two times in the, I think it was in the mid-90s. And you know, our family, you know, the Martins, we have never been camping family. And Pop just basically threw a tarp on the back of his Ford pickup, 1972 Ford pickup, and he just like put, I think he just threw
legend.
You slip bags in the back.
Legend.
It was all ingenuity at its best. I mean, I don't know. I didn't sleep in it.
That's
I
how
actually,
we do it.
That was legend. That was legend. He backed the F-150 up to like a low branch. He slung a blue tarp over the branch, so it created like this little house on the back of the F-150, and it was just like, to this day, people talk about that. That was just like, that's like a legend move right there. That's like, you know, he wins. Like that's like the greatest invention in our history of camping. Like that tent that your dad made in the back of that F-150.
And he slept in there?
Legendary. Yeah, that's legendary.
He and my mom slept in there. I think BB slept with somebody else in somebody else's tent. Probably like Rosie and Manny's. But it's still legendary. Like I remember your brother Juan Amon took a picture of it and did a family slideshow and just called it The Thing.
The Thing. Yeah, no, really. There's not really another way to describe it, but that's you know, do what you got to do, right?
That was awesome. You know, the thing that I loved, that I really loved about it is like I could go every little area and it just there was just something. It was like you were offered food. Ricky, I always loved hanging out with your mom and dad. Because obviously your dad was, 8 years older than me. So it's kind of like he's almost like more big brother than my uncle. Because it was him and his two, you know, his Junior and Poncho, who were like the musical influences on my life. So I would go in there and I'd just be like, I would just like, he would play, okay, just be my Mr. DJ right now. Oh, can you play the Chai Lights right now? Can you play some OJs? Can you play, play some 70s stuff? And I'd just be like, I'd just crack a beer and
some Santana.
Some Santana. I mean, a little Malo. Play it. I was like, I remember the last time we were all there. I was just sitting there. I was like, I don't need to move for the next several days from this spot. This music and just. I told my wife, I like everybody just bring me food, you know, because I just don't want to move from this spot. I don't even want to go to the water because I'm
it's
just
sublime.
So right
it's sublime. Camping is just yes, man.
And it was awesome getting little groups going different places and seeing each other. Like when we'd go to the brewery, I'd have me and the cousins, and we'd see some of the Tias come, and basically we would just swarm at every different place. At the liquor store, I'd see people So it was fun because it's like the whole weekend just getting to chill, hang out with family, and just do nothing but relax and reminisce.
That's it.
And we would still make time to argue about fantasy football because it was always around the corner. And bringing it back to this, let's get into some cheese man.
Cheese man.
So, did any of you guys know that Sony Michelle had surgery a couple months ago?
No, this is like news to me. I hadn't even heard about this.
So apparently it was like some minor maintenance kind of thing.
I don't know what that means, but anytime someone cuts your skin open and tinkers with your bones and tendons, I don't even understand what that means. Like maintenance surgery, maintenance is like changing your oil. Like I don't understand how cutting you open and messing around with all your parts inside your body is somehow considered maintenance now. It just blows my mind.
I think the same thing. It's great that we're finally getting to hear about it, but I mean. I don't know. I'm already going to veer away from him because I don't like the whole Patriot staff or what's going on over there. So, I mean, good luck to him. Good luck if you get him. I don't want to deal with a foot injury on a running back. Not him.
I had him last year. I'm staying away.
That's the thing. And he's had knee problems in the past. I mean, I know earlier when we did our running back rankings and he was outside of the top 20 and he was a guy I was keeping an eye on. I'm fading that a little bit until I see that he's 100%. And if he doesn't play in any preseason games, I'm going to be like, I don't know if I want to take a chance. It seems risky. And then there's the fact that he's a Patriot running back, which means no one gets the full bell cow load anyway.
Right.
So that very big concern. Very big concern. The red lights are on.
Like flashing neon, like Vegas, like you know that the cowboy neon sign in Vegas, like that guy. Like this is
past this running back.
Or La Migra.
The flashing lights.
Well, dart throws, I don't think anything describes Mitch Trubisky better than a dart throw. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I'm hoping he could do good. I know that speaking Friday, he said he was motivated by the Bears' addition of Nick Foles. So I don't know if he should be motivated that much. He should be playing with a chip on his shoulder. But, hey, you know what? Trubisky sucked last year, so he can't do any worse. I want him to do well because I want Robinson to do well on that team because I think Robinson deserves it, and he's sneaky. I think last year hopefully was just a fluke crap of a season, but – Trubisky does kind of look like he's flaming out. He looks like just another Baker Mayfield, or before Baker Mayfield was Baker Mayfield.
Right. And here's my concern. I never understand when a professional athlete says something like, now I'm motivated. Like, oh man, this is really gonna get me going. Because there's been plenty of interviews on the flip side where you have a reporter asking a guy like, hey, this has happened. Like, is this gonna motivate you more? And the answer is, what are you talking about? Like, I'm a professional athlete that's getting paid millions of dollars. I should already be as motivated as I can. And if I'm not, that's a problem. So my question is, how the hell is Mitch Trubisky already not at 150% motivated? Like, what level is he at right now where he had to say, hey guys, up until this point I was only like 90% motivated, but now that Nick Foles is here, I'm 100% motivated now. Like, I don't get that. I don't understand how a professional comes along and says something like that. Like, I'm in sales in my job, and if I'm not already like maxed out motivated to do my job and get as many sales as I can, something wrong there. You know, if my boss hired somebody and then I told my boss, well, you hired that new guy, I'm really motivated now. Like, my boss would be like, what the hell have you been doing all this time? So I'm concerned when someone says something like that.
The thing about Trubisky, he's really reminding me of the Blake Bortles, who newsflash, he's still
an ugly name.
He's still unsigned right now, and I don't even think he's 30. I mean, Trubisky, there is kind of at that point where he may be staring at his career mortality. And a lot of guys, they do maybe get that extra fire in their butt when they look and see that their career may be at a crossroads or maybe hanging in the balance. If he doesn't step forward and become great, this play better and keep the job, he may be staring at being a backup quarterback for the rest of his career, or at worst, being out of the league before he's 30. And we've seen that. We've seen so many guys who come in, get some hype. Blake Bortles is one. Blaine Gabbert is another one. I mean, we could look at Jake Locker.
Guys like
that. Yeah. I mean, you just sit there. Yeah, exactly. They're all Jags. And of course, the Bears haven't really had the greatest quarterback run.
For Rex Grossman.
Yeah, Rex Grossman.
He took it to the Super Bowl, though, didn't he?
Super Bowl quarterback Rex Grossman. Yeah.
He did. He did. You know, I think it was
Kaepernick and Flacco. So.
I don't know. I see Trubisky losing this job to Nick Foles. I think if Nick Foles did not get injured last year, I think he could have done some pretty good things over there with the Jags. So I don't know. I think Trubisky is probably going to be hearing those footsteps, Nick Foles' footsteps. And I think, you know, up to this point, he hasn't really showed that he can be that confident quarterback. I think he may be like Baker and hear those footsteps and just kind of choke. And, you know, we may end up seeing Foles as a starter probably sooner than later.
Yeah, I actually give him 4 games.
Yeah.
Trubisky, if he doesn't make it by 4 games, they're making a switch.
Sure, 100%.
Because you got the Vikings and the Bear and the Packers that are going to be good, and the Lions, Matt Patricia, his job may be on the hot seat if they don't take a big step up this year. So things are very much hanging in the balance for the Bears, and it may be the case for the GM, maybe even the coach, probably not the coach, because he was coach of the year in 2018, so he might have a little more of a cushion there. But that's it for Cheeseman. We're going into our our overrated so our or Arriba section of the show. So,
Arriba.
Yeah, last week we talked about the teams that were overrated and underrated. This week we're going a little bit deeper. We're tackling the players whose value may be a little inflated, as well as those who are solid to maybe even great values. We're going to break this down into this episode. We're going to talk about the overrated players, los altos, los de arriba. We're all going to bring up a quarterback, running back, and pass catcher. It's going to be a wide receiver or tight end. And that we think that this player is a little too high compared to the ADP of some other players. Muy altos. So yep. We used 4for4.com. They're a great sign in the FFPC.com family. And they've got a really well-updated composite of several different sites that are conducting drafts. We'll use this much of the off season, and we reserve the right to do another do a little more examination on ADP later in the off season as we could get closer to draft day. But let's start with the signal callers, the QBs. Hector,
let's go.
Hector, yep. you're leading off. Big yes. surprise here.
Here's my thing. Deshaun Watson, he's going QB5 right now. I think that's too rich for my blood, and here's why. First of all, I think the loss of DeAndre Hopkins is just going to be so much more pronounced than I think people are giving him credit for. Deshaun Watson is being drafted, in my opinion, as if D-Hop was still on the team. Because you remove DeAndre Hopkins from the equation, and I'm not seeing why Deshaun Watson is currently at an ADP of 5.08 or 5.8, and Russell Wilson's at 5.10, 10th pick in the fifth round. How I don't see how, with Russell Wilson's, he got Tyler Lockett, he's got DK Metcalf, a couple of, beast receivers that have shown that they can do some great things. We have Deshaun Watson. Yes, he's got his receivers. He's got Will Fuller. He's had injuries. Brandon Cooks, these guys are injury prone. Kenny Stills. I don't even know what that guy's done. He came over from Miami. I don't even remember anyone even picking Kenny Stills in any of our leagues. I don't even remember that even happening. So I'm just saying Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback. I'm not saying he won't have a good year. I just think I don't see him going at his current ADP, 5.8. I would definitely take Russell Wilson before I take Deshaun Watson. I don't know. Yes, last year, 26 passing TDs, 7 rushing TDs. But again, he had D-Hop to open that offense way up. And I think with D-Hop gone, that's going to close things up around Deshaun. I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for him in the pocket and to operate back there. And I just don't see it happening. I see him more as maybe QB7, QB9, somewhere in that range. I don't know if he's worth a QB5.
I think it's wishful thinking. I like him. Yeah. He's quick. They look like they're going to start protecting him better. He's got a lot of good weapons. QB5, I mean, I think he's right on spot. But the thing is, there's so many good people right behind him that look like they're going to pass him. So I definitely wouldn't want to draft him too high, unless you're in a two-quarterback league. I would have just after the first two go, I would wait a while.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm looking at the guys that are going around him. You know, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf, Kankers all went just
Josh
before.
Allen, Josh Allen.
No, Keenan Allen. No, I was.
Wide receivers going before him.
Well, I'm just looking at the players that are going
overall.
In that
yeah,
round.
It's overall, right?
Not the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks. So I'm looking at the fact that the guys that are going right before, guys that are going right after their ADP, DJ Chark, Russell Wilson, who I like a little bit better than Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. I'm right there with you.
And then there's, you know, the rookie running backs. DeAndre Swift is going in there, you know, and DeAndre Swift, I think Jonathan Taylor is going in that range. Tyler Lockett, DJ Chark. Again, this is the point where all those people who are saying wait on quarterback, I think those people are happy to bypass Deshaun Watson, take another running back or take a rookie running back or receiver, which there are still number ones that are going at that point, and wait on quarterback because it's still going to be so many good guys that are coming up after that. And you know, the thing, I think that season is that 30 plus touchdown season is coming where he's got like, I still think it's in there where he's going to get 4,500 yards and 35 TDs. It's just, I'm actually kind of surprised he hasn't done that already. So I'm going to kind of, you know, I love the rushing upside, but again, you know, Josh Allen is, I think he's QB7 in this.
QB7, exactly. Yeah. No, I was going to say the same thing. He's going at 6.6, you know, he almost one entire round almost later than Deshaun. And I'm almost willing to take Josh Allen before I take Deshaun. So there's that.
Well, there's another fifth rounder, another quarterback that's going in the fifth round who is Ricky's pick. Go talk to
us. Prescott. Well, they say that he's the fourth overall, and I get it. He was QB2 last year, and he was good. They had to play from behind in some games, and I don't know. I just can't get behind him. He had the second most yards, but something tells me after seeing that he still hasn't even signed for money. They got Andy Dalton in Dallas. It's like Cowboys already know that Dak ain't real. They just ain't telling us yet. So, I mean, I love his weapons, but I feel like Zeke can just chew the ball up himself. As soon as they get a lead, they're just going to run it with Zeke. They don't even need to worry about Dak. And Dak has a lot to play for because he's going to be in a contract year if they don't sign him. And they're going to have Andy Dalton licking his lips waiting to get out there. So, I don't know. I think you could easily get better options. I'd rather have Deshaun Watson. I'd rather have Russell Wilson. I'd rather wait another round or two and get Josh Allen. It's just you're paying way too much for Dak Prescott. I don't think he's going to get Mahomes or Lamar Jackson numbers. I don't think he's going to get Kyler Murray numbers. So he's just, I don't know, like we're looking at it, average draft position. He's not going to do you that well if he's the fourth QB and you get him. It's like, nah, pick up the other guys. This guy's not going to get you any value.
I agree with that. I think he's going way too high at that ADP. Also, don't forget that the Cowboys have added CeeDee Lamb, which I think we all were in agreement that I think that he's just another incredible weapon, you know, for Dak Prescott. So he has that guy. But like you said, if they build a lead, they're just going to hand the ball off to Zeke to run the ball, for the rest of the game. But like you said, I like Dak Prescott as well. But I think at that price, it's just a little bit too rich for my blood. I think I'll wait. There's a lot more guys, like you said, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen. I think I'm looking at those guys with a later pick and use my fifth round for maybe another running back or wide receiver.
I'm still high on Dak. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a top quarterback. He's never missed a game. I love those guys who show up every week. I think he's going to be he's still going to have a very good season. Is he going to throw 4,900 yards again? I don't know. I think what we're actually seeing here is because a lot of people got him on a bargain. In our league, he went in the 11th round last year. So I think people are fired up about Dak because of the fact that they got him and they got him so late and he was great. So he may be getting picked a little earlier than he needs to be. I'm looking at the ADP here. Cortland Sutton, Robert Woods go right after that. It's hard. If you've got, let's say you went three running backs to start off with and you're at the top of the fifth round. Are you going to pass up one of those guys to get Dak Prescott? That's going to be, let's say you've already got your wide receiver one in the fourth round. It's tough to justify picking a quarterback at that point. So that's, I'm high on Metcalf. I just think you're paying for what he did last year. And I never want to pay for what a guy did last year in fantasy.
Yep.
So mine is paying for mine is actually a little bit paying for the guy who what he did last year, Joe Burrow. He was my pick, and I looked at him going in the 12th round, and I was just like, estaba increíble, I couldn't believe it. I looked at that, and I was just like, I mean, he's going to the QB 19. Which is justifiable to a certain extent. Then you see that the quarterbacks who are still on the board at that point are Kirk Cousins, Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater, Phillip Rivers, Sam Darnold. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'd rather have any one of those guys instead of the rookie who may do well, but he may not do well. I mean, Kyler Murray last year was the QB 7, but as a rookie QB. Gardner Minshew, QB 18. Daniel Jones, who is really getting a lot of love during this early draft season, he was QB 23. Granted, he was 13 games, but still, I worry about this one. I worry that you're paying that this is another one where you're paying for what he did last year. And last I checked, college football stats don't translate to the NFL, especially for rookie quarterbacks.
No way. We've seen examples of that in guys that we talked about a little earlier, Mitch Trubisky and of course Baker Mayfield. Both of those guys, I mean, the Bears traded, I think they traded half the farm away to trade up to get Mitch Trubisky. The Browns took Baker Mayfield, and these are guys that all we heard was, oh man, they're the their college game's going to translate to the pros, watch, and we've watched and it just hasn't happened. So yeah, Joe Burrow, yeah, sure, he could be the next the next coming of Drew Brees or whoever, but he may not as well. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm not looking at Joe Burrow. If anything, maybe my second quarterback, or if I have a second league, third league, in a big money league, I'm not looking at Joe Burrow as a starter anywhere. But maybe a medium league or fun leagues that sure, throw darts and use Joe Burrow there. But as a starting quarterback in any leagues that have any kind of monetary value, I'm staying away from Joe Burrow.
We're definitely looking at Joe Burrow on a two quarterback league because he's he's QB 19. So he'll be basically, if you have a two quarterback league, Joe Burrow's not a bad number three. But he better not be one of your starting two options because that guy's going to be hit or miss. He's a rookie. Everything's going to be brand new to him. They're going to rush the hell out of him. If he's that good, like he looked at LSU, who knows? He's in Cincinnati now. So, and he's got so many other tools and weapons. He looks shiny and new and hot, but I doubt it. How often do QBs their rookie year do that great? And Joe Burrow just doesn't have the NFL look, but we'll see.
Do we see does anyone in our league pick Joe Burrow as a starter? You know, that dark
throw. No, it's QB 19. he definitely goes on a team as a backup, but it's
there's always that guy.
I'd rather have Teddy Bridgewater as my starter.
Isn't there always that guy, though? There's always that one guy in the league that just, you know, he just makes that crazy pick with, you know, thinking that rookie's just going to be like I said, the second coming of, you know, Drew Brees or you know, whoever it is, Tom Brady. Is there anyone in our league that may see Joe Burrow as the next Tom Brady and maybe pick him as their, you know, within the first, like, you know, maybe
usually
like
you're the one rounds? I expect to make bad picks like that. So
it won't be me. Not this year.
You know what? I think if he was on a team that somebody was a fan of, but I don't think we have any Bengals fans in La Familia. No. But
I can see that. Yeah. So Bengals fan picking up that. Yeah, definitely. I can see that happening.
You know, I think he's definitely a pick. In Dynasty, he may be a streaming pick, or even like Daniel Jones had three blow up games last year where he won a league, because I think he blew up one of the weeks that he blew up was week 16, the championship week. But I mean, you definitely grab him Dynasty. He may be a DFS play where he's on the cheap and maybe he's got a really good matchup against a bad secondary. You know, obviously keep an eye on that. But I don't even want him as my backup to start the season. I any of those guys that I mentioned, I'd rather have them instead of them.
Right.
Instead
Kirk
of
Cousins, Teddy B. You guys already know that's my guy. I'm taking him.
that's Hector's man crush. So everybody stay away from Teddy B. And Teddy B. Warning. You know, if a guy from the 818 is coming your way, you know, gets.
That's right. I'm gonna franchise him for all my leagues.
Yeah. Hector is the chairman of the Teddy Bridgewater Marching and Chatter Society. Is Vince Scully?
That's right. That's right. That's it.
Well, let's go to the running backs. Ricky, kick us off with the running backs.
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm hating on the guy. I just don't like that he's being drafted so high, and that's Joe Mixon, another Cincinnati guy. He's in the tier right after Derrick Henry, so it's one of those where it's like, all right, whoever's picked after this guy better, you know, he's not going to be the best, but he better have a high ceiling. Joe Mixon was hot at the end of last year, which is kind of like how Derrick Henry was the year before. But Joe Mixon's going in the first round, it looks like. People are grabbing him that early because running backs, they feel like, are a hot commodity that you need to grab him up and snatch him up. But, I mean, I'd rather have Kenyon Drake than Joe Mixon. I don't like the fact that Joe Mixon's going to rely on another bad quarterback. Not that Burrow's going to be bad, but brand-new guy, new to the system. Mixon, the one thing he has great for him, he's going to be the bell cow there. But, I mean, first round, and he's ahead of Chubb and Drake. I don't like Chubb that much, but still, Mixon was garbage most of last year. But, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys feel any love for Mixon?
No, and exactly for the reason that you said. I think with the rookie coming in, running the offense, that's going to make or break Joe Mixon, more than likely break Joe Mixon. I would definitely take Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs before Joe Mixon. So I'm definitely not high on Joe Mixon this
year. I look at the receivers who are going after him. I mean, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, all of those guys are the board when Joe Mixon gets picked at number 8. You know, I know I had bad luck with Devontae Adams last year, but I'd rather have any one of those guys other than Mixon. And I'd rather take a chance and probably get someone similar in the next round, someone similar to Mixon.
So it just seems with Joe Mixon being that high, like you said, he's ahead of DeAndre Hopkins. He's ahead of Devontae Adams. There's got to be love for Joe Burrow out there. There's got to be some kind of understanding or agreement among these guys that have him this high that the Bengals offense is somehow going to be good. You know, this guy's number 8 overall.
It's garbage time, though. He's not going to get that much work.
Exactly. So how can he be that high? There has to be a reason why Joe Mixon is 1.8 ADP. It just
I just feel like he's you're gonna, if you want them, you're gonna have to draft them in like the late first round, maybe if you're lucky, the beginning of the second. But I don't know if he does that much better than the seventh best running back. I'd be happy if he was the 10th best running back, but I mean, I don't trust the guy enough to draft him that high.
And think about it. Like, I'm looking here at the ADP in the second round. So if you're picking number 8 in a 12-team league, by the time the snake comes around to you, you're looking at either Josh Jacobs or Austin Eckler. I think I'd rather have those guys plus I'd one of those receivers that I've I know you'd rather have Eckler. Again, you know, a warning to Austin Eckler, Ricky is...
no one ever lets me get a Charger.
What do you mean no one lets you? It's a freaking draft. What do you mean nobody lets you? Just pick them.
You guys draft them early because you think I'm going to grab them.
So then you should draft him earlier than we draft him. And then we'll let you. That's how we will let you.
But think about that. Wouldn't you rather have like a Davante Adams or a Tyreek Hill and then grab an Eckler in the second round?
Yes.
I think you're going to get similar to even better stats with Eckler than you're going to get out of Mixon.
Yeah. And like I said, I think Mixon's make or break with Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow has a bad season, even worse for Mixon's. I definitely don't see, you know, there's way too much trust in Joe Burrow, you know, giving Mixon, you know, an explosive offense that puts him at 1.8. I don't see it.
Yeah, and we still don't know how good that offensive line is going to be. I mean, they're getting a healthy Josiah Williams back from who was the first round pick last year and missed the entire season. But is the line going to be any better? Because I think halfway through the season, Mixon just looked like almost droppable because he was just trash. He was horrible. I mean, he came back. He flashed in the second half of the season, but I just it worries me. I'd rather if you're picking in the second, Familia out there, if you're picking in the second half of the first round, don't be afraid to go receiver because then just pound the running backs after that. You'll probably be in better in a better shot, better stance.
Yep.
Hector, you're up, and by the way, everybody, warning everybody in Cleveland out there, you know, you know, be nice to Hector, even though he's not being nice to you.
You know what? It's not personal. Definitely not personal. You know, I never been to Cleveland, but I'm sure it's a lovely town. Nothing personal at all against anyone in Cleveland. But the Cleveland offense, I don't have high confidence in it at all. And Nick Chubb, he's my overrated running back. He's currently sitting at 1.12, you know, right at the end of the first round. I just don't see that. My main concern with Chubb being picked that high is Kareem Hunt. And even though inexplicably Kareem Hunt, that guy, we all remember Kareem Hunt. We know what he did in Kansas City. And, if he didn't, you know, it. Outside of those indiscretions that he had when he got suspended last season for 8 games, you know, Kareem Hunt was a stud and everyone was ready to pick him super duper high. He got suspended. He missed half the season. He ended up in Cleveland as a backup. That was not necessarily supposed to be Kareem Hunt's narrative. He was supposed to be the number one guy on the number one offense in the NFL. So the guy can run. The guy can do great things. And I don't know what I don't understand necessarily why Kareem Hunt is sitting at 6.9 and Nick Chubb is sitting at 1.12. I think they have a new head coach over there in Cleveland in Kevin Stefanski. I think everybody knows that, you know, in the NFL, you know, what have you done for me lately? So Stefanski's going to have to start winning right away. And if he's putting in Kareem Hunt as a 1-2 punch, which Kareem Hunt himself said it, you know, he was just quoted as saying, you know, he sees himself as being a 1-2 punch with Nick Chubb. And if Kareem Hunt starts doing big things and Kevin Stefanski needs big things to happen, I see this being as a committee. And I don't really see, you know, if this becomes a committee, which it definitely could because Kareem Hunt has been a stud before and can be a stud again. I just don't see how Nick Chubb's value can stay as high as it is if this becomes a committee, which I believe it will be.
Too many mouths to feed, man. Way too many mouths to feed. That's why I try to stay away from Nick Chubb. You got Kareem Hunt. You got Landry. You got OBJ. It's like, you know what? Just back away from the team. They're not going to be like this insanely great offensive team that has four all-stars on their team eating the ball. So I think Nick Chubb will do great on the ground. I think say goodbye to him doing much receiving because Kareem Hunt's going to take that job. And if Kareem can take some of the running room, then Chubb's just going to be an unfortunate disaster. It's just going to be a disaster because you're not going to get points from him. But it looked pretty. It was shiny when you got him. It looked right. Cool, but if they play smart, he's only going to get, like, maybe he'll get 1,000 yards, but, like, nothing receiving. But he'll be the goal line back. Meanwhile, Kareem's going to do all that fancy stuff.
Yeah, Nick Chubb will have a good year. I just don't see it as 1.12 kind of a year.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't want my number one running back to already be part of a committee, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah. Yo estoy intrigued with it.
Intrigado? Is that a word?
Intrigado.
It's not like embarazado. You can't say embarazado.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole other... embarazado.
Can't say that.
Hey, preview our next show. But no, the thing with Chubb, I'm intrigued by the fact that that Kevin Stefanski really emphasized the running game in Minnesota last year. So that's one thing. But the thing, I look at the 1,494 yards that Chubb had last year, and I just don't see him getting back to that number. I mean, maybe he gets back to 1,200. Do you want to spend a first round pick and then be frustrated every week? He never touched 20 carries after Kareem Hunt came back. And that, to me, you look at the second half where he, if you double those stats, his numbers are decent. He still gets 1,000 yards, but he's not the stud he was in the first half of the season. So I think this is going to be similar to those games where Alexander Mattison vultured some carries from Dalvin Cook last year. Maybe it was, you know, the game was salted away, but I don't know if I trust Chubb all the way. And again, this is a back half of the first round. I mean, at the snake, I'm very willing to take a wide receiver at that point. You know, they're at number 12. You still got a D Hop is there. And
yeah.
Julio Jones is there. I mean, I'd be tempted, you know, number 12 to take at the snake, to take DeAndre Hopkins and a Julio Jones at that point, and then just bang running backs later. So that's one thing. So my turn on the next one. And, you know, in our first couple episodes, we previewed the rookies, the kids after they got taken at the draft. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is one guy that I think we were all really excited about, and I think we must have done our job really well, because a lot of people who are drafting out there are very, very excited about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Muy excited.
Demasiado excited.
And I think everybody's looking at him and seeing Kareem Hunt in 2017 and thinking that they're going to get a repeat of that. And they're picking him in the second round, number 23 overall, RB14. You know, everything says take Andy Reid's RB1, but is Clyde Edwards-Helaire going to be his RB1 from day one?
There's no way. If you look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire, his last 3 years, he only has 370 total attempts rushing. Last year, he had 215. That ranks him like 18th in the NFL, and there's no way they're going to rush him more than what he's used to in the NFL. They're going to be getting hit harder. It's going to be a lot faster. So I see him maybe, if he's lucky, getting 200 attempts, maybe. But no, that team's going to be a circus as far as a cool one, because it's going to be fun to watch. But he's going to be a beneficiary of the way they play the game, but not enough to draft over Leonard Fournette, Melvin Gordon, Chris Carson. No, maybe Melvin Gordon, but not Chris Carson and Le'Veon Bell. Like, why would you take a flyer on Clyde Edwards-Helaire and not take a flyer on Carson or Bell?
That's true. I mean, one thing I think where people are, you know, hyping up Clyde Edwards-Helaire is just the fact that Andy Reid he leans on his bell cow. If you're the bell cow, Andy Reid will give you the ball. We saw it with Kareem Hunt. We saw it with Jamal Charles. That's what kind of what Andy Reid does. So I think people are banking on the same thing with Clyde Edwards-Helaire here. I think that they're you know, yeah, it's kind of a Hail Mary. And but you know, the guy was a stud in college. Yes, heck yeah, he's you know, he's a badass. So they're thinking that Andy Reid's going to use him as the bell cow and is going to feed him and feed him and feed him in the most explosive offense in the NFL. So yeah, he's going that high. Is he worth that high pick? I don't think so. I kind of agree with you. I might go with guys like Fournette or, you know, some other guys in that kind of, in that range. But yeah, I think it's because of Andy Reid's reputation as leaning heavily on his bell cows.
Yeah, I just worry about him not. I fully believe that he's going to be the bell cow at some point during the season. I just don't know if he's going to be that guy at the beginning of the season. And that right. I don't know if I want to spend a second round pick, because you got to, if you're gonna be in contention for the playoffs, you got to hit on your first couple picks. If you don't, then it's really hard. So yep. I don't know. I mean, as I knew from last year. So. You know, and one guy that we're going to the pass catchers now. One guy that has been someone that has not hit for the past three seasons is Hector's pick for overrated. So, dígame, primo, who is it your pick?
I apologize again for the Cleveland. The Cleveland reference. I don't do it on purpose. I just, things that stand out to me as far as, you know, players being overrated. And again, the one thing that stands, and this is by coincidence, what stands out to me again, as Rick mentioned, there's just way too many mouths to feed. And what's interesting to me is that OBJ, current ADP is 81. He's currently wide receiver 11, or 10 rather. And Jarvis Landry is sitting at wide receiver 31. So I don't understand how that's such a wide disparity between two guys that essentially are the same guy. To me, I mean, Jarvis Landry, when he was in Miami, he was a stud. At any given day, he can be the guy on the offense. OBJ can be the guy on the offense. Why there's such a disparity? OBJ is WR10, Jarvis Landry is WR31. I just don't see that. I just don't see how OBJ is so much more valuable than Landry, you know, 21 places above. I don't see it. I think people are paying for the name. I think people are paying for what OBJ has done in the past. Like you said, George, I don't want to pay for, you know, what a guy did last year. I think people are still buying OBJ high based on that catch he made from Eli, you know, back in 2014. People are like, oh man, I think he can do that again. I want that guy on my team. That guy that catches with one hand. So I think that's what it is. I think he's going way too high. Like I said, in my opinion, Landry and OBJ are kind of interchangeable. I don't really see OBJ being that much of a greater wide receiver than Landry. Both of them are great receivers, don't get me wrong. I just don't see OBJ being 21 spots better than Landry. So definitely overrated. There's way better guys that you can pick at right around number 31 on the draft board.
I think OBJ is great. He showed it last year.
Yeah.
They're just not connecting. That's right. All it is, and it's all Baker Mayfield. And that's why, yeah, he's definitely overrated. As far as he's overrated because he's not going to make the points, he's a great player. He can do that catch. Last year he made a catch and, like, ran it 85 yards or whatever, one of the first two games he did.
Right.
But, like I said, there's too many mouths to feed. OBJ thrives on getting the ball a lot, so – I'm with you on that.
And the frustration factor may be creeping up too, because this is now going into what, OBJ's third year now with the Browns. So at some point the guy wants to get back to, you know, the diva years, you know, when he's, you know, proposing to the kicking net. You know, he wants to be the guy. The OBJ wants to be the guy. He wants to be on the front page of, you know, the website. It's not newspapers anymore because there are no more newspapers. So front page of the website, he wants to be that guy. So I think frustration, if the Browns offense can't get things going and get him the ball, he's going to be frustrated. And we know what happens when he's frustrated. He starts to pout. He starts to kick things and get frustrated and angry. And I'm just, again, his ADP is way too high than WR10, and number 31 overall.
As someone who grew up, very much came of age in the 80s, Odell Beckham, he's Jordache jeans, those designer right. jeans. And, you know, you're paying for the label.
Sergio That's Valente.
Yeah, Sergio Valente, Gloria Vanderbilt. I mean, all of those, you're paying for the name.
The label.
Jarvis Landry is those Levi's that just, you know, that they
get the job done.
Yeah, they fit you right, and they cost like a third of it. So I look at this. I love OBJ. He's one of my favorite players when he's healthy, and I hope he's healthy this year, because if he's healthy, he will get into the top 10 if they figure out that offense. But that's a lot of ifs. That's a lot of ifs, and I don't want to pay for the name. I just don't want to pay for the name. I mean, and let's keep in mind, he was healthy last year for all 16 games for the first time since 2016, and he was wide receiver 24. So right. that, you know, I could see that happening again. Could just see that happening again. I hope it's not. I hope he gets 100 receptions and 1,500 yards, but I just don't see it happening yet.
And you've picked Landry before, George. Talk about Jarvis Landry. I mean, do you think I'm right? What I'm saying is that Landry is, you know, he's right there with OBJ from a skill set. I mean, do you agree?
He's not sexy. He's not sexy because he doesn't score that many touchdowns. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. can get you 13 to 15 touchdowns, and Jarvis Landry will get you 4 to 6. Okay. But he'll get you 100 receptions. He'll right. get 1,200 yards, and it's like you look at that, and that's more yards. That's more yards receiving than Joe Mixon got rushing. So I'm fine to get Jarvis Landry at ADP 81, and when he was wide receiver 11 last year. So he's another example of why wide receiver is so deep. You can get that guy in the seventh round. So I'm happy to wait on him. The next guy is someone who is another name that got very sexy. Ricky, tell us about him.
I mean, I love who it is. It's A.J. Brown. I like the guy. I just don't think he needs to be drafted so high. He's wide receiver 14, 38th overall. So he would be like your quick fourth-round pick if you're around there, or your top fourth-round pick. But, I mean, like you were saying, Georgie, wide receivers are just so – how do you say it? There's a lot of depth in wide receivers.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could pick up A.J. Brown, or you can get Cooper Kupp. You can get Adam Thielen. You can get Cortland Sutton, who had more yards than Brown last year. It's just, I get it. I just don't want to ride the hype train on A.J. Brown. I'm still not excited about Tannehill. A lot of people are. But I think as soon as the dust settles over there in Tennessee, people are going to see what they need to do. And all they need to do is run the ball. Run the ball down your throat. And that's not going to help A.J. Brown. So, yeah, I think he's good, but I think A.J. Brown showed us his ceiling last year. I don't think he's going to do that much better than what he did last year. So it's like, don't bank on him all of a sudden being 1,300 yards. Still expect him to get 1,000. So don't dismiss Metcalf. Don't dismiss Sutton. Don't draft A.J. Brown so quick. Don't fall for the hype.
I don't know. I'm looking at the ADP board here. A.J. Brown... he's 4.2. We have Cooper Kupp, 4.3. We have Adam Thielen, 4.4. I don't know. I had A.J. Brown last year. And obviously, if you've ever played fantasy football before, it's there's definitely you kind of lean towards guys that you've had before because you actually paid exact attention to every yard they got and every score yes. that they got. And you watched every replay that they made of every catch that they made. So I like A.J. Brown. I'm that guy, Rick. I'm high on Tannehill. I'm high on A.J. Brown. I wouldn't have any problem, you know, starting the fourth round. If I had A.J. Brown available, I would have no problem taking him. I think the guy is a speedster. I think Tannehill is better than what people are giving him credit for. And I would not have any problem at all taking A.J. Brown over Cooper Kupp. I don't like the Rams offense. I, again, just like I said, I got burned by Jared Goff last year. So I would probably take A.J. Brown before Cooper Kupp. That's what I'm saying now. Now, if he was sitting in front of the stickers I may be, you know, that may be different when you're standing in front of the stickers. You know, your brain starts doing crazy things. But as of right now, looking forward and projecting, I would have no problem taking A.J. Brown and starting in the fourth round.
What are you thinking? Oh, my goodness. A.J. Brown had 52 receptions last year, and Cooper Kupp had 94.
But A.J. Brown, he just got started. Like, he just – second half of the season when he just – it's kind of like the train out of the station – slow in the beginning, but once AJ Brown got going, those last games of the season, the guy was just on fire. And I see that continue. Absolutely.
He was on fire. He was on fire. I can't see him all of a sudden being a guy who's going to get, you know, 90 plus receptions. And in PPR, that just, I don't know if I'm going to make that kind of investment in him. I would still take a Cup. I would take a Thielen. I don't know if I'd take I might take Cortland Sutton over AJ Brown, but yeah, I mean, all those guys are still on the board, and I just, you know, AJ Brown, who are some of the running backs who are going at that point?
Let's see.
Chris Carson, Le'Veon Bell, I don't think so, but James
Conner is right around there.
James Conner. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. That just seems a steep price to pay for a guy. Yes, he had a big second half. I added up his receptions in the second half. If you would have doubled them, it would have had 60 receptions. So
right.
Not a big jump from 52, and it's certainly not 94. So right. I'd pump the brakes a little bit, maybe grab someone. I like Cooper Kupp better, and I like Adam Thielen better, but that's all right. We can disagree and bet a beer on it.
No, sure. Like I said,
I'll enjoy it when you give it to me at Christmas.
When I'm in front of the stickers, when you're in front of the stickers and the money's on the line, it's like, oh crap, Cooper Kupp did get 90 receptions.
I'm sure when you're in front of the stickers, heck, you'll make the same bad decision. So we don't have to worry.
Stickers make you do crazy things.
Well, let's go to our last. Yeah, exactly. That's a whole other episode. Yeah. Let's go to the last pass catcher, and it's a tight end. I picked the tight end, Darren Waller. Another guy who came out of nowhere. Got 90 receptions, 1,145 yards. He had 3 TDs. I look at him and it's like he's going in the fourth round. He's going as the tight end 5, number 41 overall. That just seems way high to be grabbing someone when, you know, you're not going to get Kittle or Kelsey. I that just seems really early to be going for a tight end at that point.
It's definitely early. I love that Waller was like the second most targeted tight end in the whole league. So he's definitely got a high ceiling. But you don't want to pass up players like Le'Veon Bell, Chris Carson, James Conner just for the tight end. When if you pass on Waller, you could always get Engram later, Hunter Henry possibly. I don't want to say Austin Hooper, but he's still a good chance. Or even Hayden Hurst in Atlanta. So it's just Waller was great. He's amazing. But don't pass up on solid running backs. Let the tight end come to you is usually how I feel.
Yeah, I don't, and this is kind of puzzling to me. I'm just trying to understand, you know, starting the fourth round. And I think it goes back to what we discussed earlier, because I'm used to our league where the tight end is not necessary. I mean, the tight end is a flex position. So I think in a tight end league, yeah, he was, like you said, second most targeted tight end last year. So yeah, if you're in a league that requires you to take the tight end, then I can possibly see it in that case. But in our league, tight end is a flex position. So yeah, definitely waiting. But yeah, but even as you said, even if you're in a tight end league, you know, I'm looking at guys like James Conner, you know, Adam Thielen, guys in that neighborhood, over Darren Waller. But is this a question of, or do people, are people looking at the Raiders offense as making some kind of a big jump this year?
The reason they're looking at it that way, he has great stats.
Yeah,
he
does.
Second most yards with 1,146. Exactly. He had the most 100-yard games with 5 compared to 4 for Higbee and 3 for Kittle. Kelsey only had 2. His only downfall was that he had 3 touchdowns because that puts him way behind everybody else. So they figure you give him the same amount of stats and just 3 more touchdowns, he's going to be in the top 3 easily. The thing is, does he get the same stats? The Raiders don't look, I mean, the Raiders look stronger. They look like they got more depth. Maybe Waller can do it, but I mean, drafting him fourth round, I mean, that's ballsy. After that, I mean, I would not even draft a second tight end because you already invested way too highly in a wishful pick. It's a good wishful pick, but that's way too high.
And yeah, what impact does Ruggs have? I mean, remember Henry Ruggs, you know, the Raiders' hotshot receiver that they just picked up. What kind of an impact does he have on Waller's production, too? Something else to think about.
And it's just like, it's not like he's way, way better than everybody else. So it's like, you know what, if Waller, you don't get him in the fourth round, screw it. You waited five more rounds and you got Hunter Henry or you got Mark Andrews or someone like that. And it just shows you that you can get more value later. And even if your guy isn't as good as Waller, you still got this other great running back on your team because you passed on Waller and a tight end who's only two spots behind Waller. So I just wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket for Waller.
No, especially if you don't have your running back solid by that point, if you don't have at least two running backs at that point, you're not taking a tight end at this point. This is not Travis Kelce who's going to, yes, he's going to get the receptions and the yards, but he's not going to get 12 touchdowns. So or whatever Kelce had last year, I think he had right. 10. Mm-hmm. So he's not going to get that. So that's why I think it's just es muy muy alto for him, demasiado arriba for him.
Más loco.
Yep.
Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show.
Thanks
again to our friends at Anchor for being our hosting network for our independent podcast, and it helps you get out to our familia community. Please subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram and leave us a tweet at us and or send us a Facebook message. Gracias, everybody. Otra vez. Remember,
thank you.
Todos somos familia.
Salud.
Adios, amigos.